Cape Talk, Pippa's Planet.
So did you know that bees pollinate more than a third of all our food crops and make sure that 90% of wild flowers survive and flourish? So I know they can be terrifying sometimes, but we really do need bees in our ecosystem, in our gardens, in our parks. And quite frankly, the world needs bees if we're going to continue to eat and survive. Sadly though, bee populations are on a rapid decline. So with World Bee Day coming up on Monday the 20th, for Pippa's Planet this week, we've invited in some experts on the subject to advise us on how to make sure that our gardens, our pots, our balconies, windowsills even, are filled with plants that will attract bees. The good news is that there has been an app designed for it. How thoroughly modern. An app called Candide. Am I pronouncing it correctly? Yes, they're nodding. It's a free social and eco-conscious gardening app that will tell you which plants are most sexy to bees. You don't get more modern than that. Welcome to the show, app developer Shani Kricher and bee expert Brad Seaton-Smith.
Thank you. Welcome.
Tell us a bit about how the app came about and what went into designing it.
So the app was first launched in South Africa about a year and a half ago. And the reason for the app is to truly share our love for gardening. Gardens are all around us. We have incredible temperature and, you know, nature in South Africa, which we can enjoy. And we are lucky enough as a country to have space. So most houses do have some sort of garden or a balcony that people can garden. And we realize there's a need for people to connect, to be able to share either their love for gardening or their knowledge for gardening. And the app came about as we're living in a mobile world at the moment. We have our phones in our pockets every day. And we thought it's an easy way to connect people to each other in their gardens. So on the app, people can ask questions to our gardening community that lives within the app. Or they can read up about information regarding plants or pests and diseases in our knowledge tab. And very recently, we launched a very exciting functionality in the app where people can identify plants by taking a picture of a plant in their garden and uploading it to the app, and then the app will be able to tell them what type of plant it is.
That's amazing. It's an inclusive app, right? It's not just for gifted gardeners with green fingers.
No.
It's also for people who potter.
Absolutely. So what we aim to do is, whilst we obviously have a lot of valuable and knowledgeable information on the app that comes from horticulturists, we want to share that and we want to encourage people to start gardening. Because you have to start gardening to be able to, for instance, in the case of bees now, celebrating World Bee Day, I mean, if you have to have a potted plant with, for instance, rosemary in it to be able to attract bees. So we want to encourage those that have not yet touched the area of gardening or have interest in it to find interest in gardening on the app. So it's for everyone.
Let's bring you into the conversation now, Brad, as a bee expert. Are you a beekeeper? Tell us a bit about your background.
Yes, yeah, I'm a beekeeper. I would hardly call myself a bee expert.
Okay.
I think it's hard to find a bee expert. The saying goes, if you ask 10 beekeepers a question, you'll get 11 answers. So it's hard to find many of those around. But yes, I'm a beekeeper. My journey into beekeeping started when the bees found me, really. They moved into my compost bin, and I knew very little about them, but I knew that they needed to be protected. And so I started looking around for someone to safely remove them for me. And I just wasn't confident that the people that I was speaking to would do it in a safe manner for the bees. So I started looking around and doing a lot more research, and I did some courses and I bought all the gear. And now I'm a beekeeper that owns 20 hives of my own, and I help manage a number for a lot of other people too.
What is the situation with bees at the moment in terms of the decline in Cape Town?
So we all sort of know that there's been a worldwide decline in bee populations. And, you know, the situation seems to be getting stable, I would say. But, I mean, they are constantly under threat from a number of different areas. Pesticides is a massive one. There's threat of disease, and habitat loss is another huge issue for them. So, there's always sort of threats, and I think all of us just need to be really mindful of what we're doing, what we're putting into the earth and, you know, what we're getting out of it too.
Let's talk a little bit about what people, gardeners in particular, can do to attract bees in their gardens.
So as Shani said already, you know, just start off by planting some plants. And
What kind of plants?
That's, I think, where the Candida app comes into.
Please jump right in.
So I think, you know, there's three key things that bees need in a garden. One of them is food, which comes down to plants.
Right.
And some of the most common everyday things we all know is lavender, rosemary, borage. Bees love those. And then if we want to go a bit indigenous and water-wise, you can think aloes, fagies, all very popular with bees. So that's food. Then another thing that people forget is bees need water, just like we need water. So have a water bath in your garden. Provide bees with water. Make sure it's a shallow water bath. Or perhaps what I do at home, I put a rock inside my water bath to just keep, you know, make a little bit of a floor for birds and insects to be able to sit on to get to the water.
Clever.
Yeah. So
an island.
Yeah, a little island in the middle of the water bath. Yeah,
that's cute.
So
I'd like to know, actually, in my garden, I have ivy. So my ivy has been sprouting little flowers, and it attracts bees. Is this something that bees like?
Yes, definitely.
Is it seasonal?
I think the thing is there's obviously certain plants that bees prefer more than others.
Right.
Because certain plants will provide them with more nectar and pollen. But I'm sure that, like ivy, it flowers. So, and if bees are attracted to it, there must be some sort of form of nectar or pollen on the ivy flowers. So, yes, then, you know, it's beneficial for bees.
How much honey does a bee produce? Or, I mean, how many bees do you require to produce honey? Does anyone know that?
There's sort of various stats out there about how many flowers they need to visit. But it's,
I mean, I read somewhere that one bee will produce about a quarter of a teaspoon of honey in its lifetime.
Something like that. And they'll visit hundreds of thousands of flowers and travel many thousands of kilometers, one little bee, to gather those sort of resources. So they're really hardworking little creatures.
So should we be buying less honey or putting less pressure on them? Does that come into the equation?
Well, I'd say what you should be doing is buying local honey in particular. Support your local beekeepers. Be aware of what products you are buying. So when you are in a big supermarket, check the labels of the countries of origin and, you know, support local. I think that's, you know, the recent carte blanche expose on the honey that came out in South Africa was a big eye-opener to many people and what is actually going into some of the honey. And the international imports too are also guilty of some of that too, potentially. So rather buy from your local beekeeper where you know where that honey's coming from, and you know, support the growth of our local industry.
Can you find your local beekeepers on the app?
We don't have a lot of them yet on the app, but we have. You will definitely be able to find them. So Brad's on the app.
I am.
So people can connect with him, and he obviously knows a much bigger community when it comes to bees and beekeeping. So he'll be able to introduce them. And then on the app, with the celebration of World Bee Day now, what we've done is we're writing articles about bee-friendly plants so people can go read up more about it. And we're also introducing people to important information like if you find a swarm in your garden, who to contact, who's the right individual to contact in your area to make sure that the person that comes and removes the swarm doesn't kill the bees but protects them and gives them a new home.
Yeah. We've got a WhatsApp that's come through with a question. It says, "Hey guys, I have a massive problem with bees. Unfortunately, I find about 3 to 4 dead bees in my pool every week. What can I do to stop this? It's extremely upsetting not being able to do anything." Any advice there?
So yeah, that's most likely the, a hive nearby that is looking for that water source, which is why Shani suggested putting out a alternate water source for them. But when you do that, make sure that there's something in there that they can stand on and get access to the water without drowning. So if you can do that, that'll definitely help. Also, keep an eye out for where those bees are coming from. Potentially, if they are in something like a fire hydrant or somewhere where they could be in potential danger, rather contact a beekeeper and get them removed safely. So I think also, like was mentioned, so we run the Cape Town Bee Removals Facebook group, and we are always open to give advice and to help people out if ourselves, or pass on that information to other beekeepers in the area that can get bees safely removed if you do find them in a spot where they could potentially be in danger.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. It's Louise from Parklands. Maybe just put your headphones on so you can hear her. Hi, Louise. What is your question or your comment?
I just want to make a statement about the birds. I have bottled, you know, that a makeup nectar, the sugar in the water.
And nectar bottles. Found
that because there was no pollen for the bees, they were being attracted by this nectar, and they all got into this bottle, and I managed to save a lot of them because they would have drowned. So I have to take the bottles down now, and the birds just don't have the nectar anymore.
Okay, that's an interesting question. Thank you, Louise, from Parklands. Nectar bottles, is this something that bees are dangerous for bees?
Well, they'll be attracted to anything sweet, really. So those sort of sugar bird feeders and that type of thing are a big attractant to them. So, yeah, they'll definitely try and get access to that and try and make it so that the bees can't crawl into that space and drown, if at all possible. Just try and adapt it if you can, really.
What shouldn't you do if you have a swarm of bees in your garden or near you? You shouldn't squirt water at them or aggravate them, because they're not naturally aggressive, are they?
No, that's absolutely right. So bees will only really attack you if, if they're out foraging and that sort of thing. You see them on your plants and flowers and in your trees. If you try and swat at them or accidentally sit or stand on one, then it's absolutely going to think you're a threat and try and sting you. If you have a established hive, the best advice I would give is to not try and remove them yourself. So there's certain notions that you can just smoke bees out and that'll solve your problems, and that leads to a lot bigger issues like starting felt fires and ultimately just probably getting the bees really angry and not having the results that you want, and that can cause big problems for yourself and for your neighbors and your neighbor's pets and all that sort of thing. So rather call an expert in to get them removed safely, someone that knows what they're doing. And if you're interested in beekeeping yourself, then ask if you can tag along and see if they can bring an extra bee suit for you to join in, so you can learn a bit more yourself too.
Okay, we're listening to beekeeper Brad Seaton-Smith and app developer Shani Kricher, who's developed an app called Candide. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes,
Candide, where you can learn about all the things you need to learn about your garden in order to attract bees into your garden. Monday, the 20th of May, is World Bee Day. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that the app is location-based. So wherever you travel to, it changes your needs, is that correct?
Yes.
It adapts, right?
Yep. So, as I mentioned earlier, the app started in South Africa initially, but it's also available. We've launched it in the United Kingdom and in Ireland. So people will encounter other communities and other gardeners from other countries on the app, which I personally think is fantastic because it makes it a bit diverse and you learn from other countries. And as such, because we have already launched in three markets, we have to make it location-based so that the information, gardening-related, is relevant to, the gardeners using the app, because we are in the southern hemisphere and they are in the northern hemisphere. So seasons change, where, bees are going out to forage and make honey now in the United Kingdom, for instance, because it's springtime there. Here in autumn, it's the opposite. It's winter time, so they, getting quiet, going home, resting. So,
when do you usually see bees? What season?
Spring and summer.
Yeah, so there'll be bees out sort of all the time. Obviously, the majority of activity you'll most likely see them out and about is in spring, when all the flowers are starting to bloom and that sort of thing. But unlike the bees in the northern hemispheres, where they almost hibernate over winter, where it snows and that sort of thing, our bees work throughout the year, and there'll be different things flowering depending on where they are. So
our bees are busy.
They are indeed, yeah.
Okay, if you'd like to ask a question to our guests, you can call us on 021-446-0567, WhatsApps and voice notes 072-567-0567, and texts to 31567, and that is what Stan has done. Welcome to the show, Stan. What is your question? It's about pest control companies, I believe.
Yes, good afternoon. Yeah, I run a pest control business, and just to notify the public in Cape Town not to phone pest control companies, it's illegal to kill bees. And if there's any pest control company that does offer a bee treatment where they're going to kill the bees, then you should actually report them to the South African Pest Control Association. There are numerous beekeepers in the southern suburbs as well as the northern suburbs, and that's the best route to go, and not to call a pest control company in. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan, for bringing that to our attention. What do you think about pest control in general when it comes to bees?
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. You know, obviously bees are so important, so we don't want them to be exterminated or killed in any way. And there's actually, you know, in my opinion, no excuse to ever kill a colony of bees. They can always be safely removed in one way or another if they're in a spot that they're really not wanted. So absolutely, I agree with that caller. I'd rather get a beekeeper in to help you remove them and to relocate them somewhere.
And you can find them on the app and on Facebook, you mentioned. There's a beekeeper community.
Yes, yeah, you can get hold of us at Cape Town Bee Removals on Facebook. Mm. And like I said, if we can't help you, we've got access to various WhatsApp groups of bee removals experts around the country that will be able to help you.
We've got a lot of questions coming in and a lot of WhatsApp questions, but let's go to our caller, Donna, who wants to ask about honey. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. The honey sold at the major retailers, and majority of the bottles state at the back origin China or South Africa or Vietnam, as one example. They always list like three countries, which seems very strange because I don't think, do the bees travel that far? Or is that misinformation? So how do I make sense of that?
Good question, Donna.
So it's only the bees with passports that are valid. I'm just kidding. What is happening there is that honey bottlers are buying in honey from a number of countries and importing it from various sources, and then that's being blended into a final product. So it's difficult to know exactly where that honey is coming from. You know, it's definitely not the case always, but there's also a fantastic documentary called Rotten, if you can get hold of it on Netflix, that is a real eye-opener into what other countries are doing in terms of mixing honey with different products, like actually sugar syrups and rice syrups and that sort of thing. So it's actually not honey at all. So be careful of that sort of thing. Read those labels and, like
read,
I said, try and
the
buy
labels.
Local.
So important. We have a voice note also on the subject of bees.
I went to a shop in Stellenbosch, and there was a woman that was swinging away in the air because she saw a bee, and I said, just leave the bee alone. If you don't harm the bee, the bee is not going to harm you. And she kind of looked at me like, okay, whatever type of thing. But that, as far as I know, that is the case. If you don't harm the bee, they're not going to do anything to you.
It's true. I mean, often children are very scared of bees. As well, I know my children get they kind of run out of the room if there's a bee in the vicinity. And another WhatsApp question that's come through before we have to wrap up quite soon for the news headlines. But we have a small colony of yellow bees, which are very angry at times. They come and go. They have longish bodies. But are they good to keep in your yard? That's Odine.
What it sounds like you're describing could potentially be wasps,
okay,
which are very different to bees.
Okay.
If you've got a colony of bees that are in your garden, they're fantastic to keep. If they're wasps, look it up and try and find what species it is, because there are invasive species in Cape Town that need to be reported and removed, unfortunately.
Just tell us quickly, what are the types of bees in terms of species that we find in and around Cape Town?
So we've got the Cape honeybee. Mm-hmm. That's very common.
And is that what we usually see?
That's what we usually see, yes. Okay. And then we've got the, correct me if I'm wrong, but the African bee towards the north of the country. And how you distinguish between them is the body. So you know the yellow and the black stripe of a bee. So the Cape honeybee has a bit more of a darker body, where the African honeybee has very distinct yellow and black lines.
Okay, that's interesting. So just tell us quickly before we have to wrap up for the headlines, how to download the app, Candide.
Yes, so as mentioned earlier, the app is absolutely free to download and very simple to use. And you can find it on the Google Play Store or on Apple's App Store. You type in Candide, C-A-N-D-I-D-E, and you search it and you can download it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us and enlightening us on this fascinating subject.
Thanks.
Thanks, Bianca.